This call is being recorded.
Who's on? It would be 67. How you doing, 67? How well can you hear me?
I can hear all of you very well.
Good. I've got a couple kids in the background and a earpiece on.
Oh. Okay, I can see I'm not the only one watching kids.
No, last night my wife's like, I'm going out with friends tomorrow. I'm like, okay.
Well, I've got mine. I'm home now, so mine wants to come by and sit next to me and see what's going on. Hello, Craig.
I'm just sitting in the other room crying.
Gentlemen?
Hello there.
How is everyone this evening?
Doing well. Hey, who's driving right now?
Sorry, that's me. I'll turn it off.
Hey, no worries. Just hit mute until we get to you. I'm going to give it a couple more minutes, let everybody else join. Jordan's on, waiting for Patrick, Matt, and Chris.
Hey, Tom, it's Craig here.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, sorry I missed you on Monday. I had to deal with some stuff with my son. So.
Hey, no worries.
It's all good. I picked him up from school. He was just pretty upset about some stuff at school. So.
Okay, anyway, no worries. Let's try to convene sometime soon.
Yeah, you got it.
All right,
back on mute because you don't like the white noise of the road. So.
Thank you. Barney's on, JG, Patrick, Bobby, Jordan. Just give it another minute, wait for Patrick. I'll just ping him and see if he'll join us. There he is. Welcome aboard, Patrick.
Thank you, Thomas. I appreciate the warm welcome.
Always.
I am ready to be on the call.
Did everybody get the agenda this morning? No worries. I'll run through it. Looks like the only one we're missing is Lafa. Let me just see if he can join us, and then we'll get started.
Is this the guy that plans all of our events and never shows up?
That would be him.
Always having the excuse that he's dancing with his grandmother somewhere.
Yeah.
Randomly takes photos of him dancing with old ladies and sends them to us.
I know. He's very convincing that way. We'll explain that in the at some point in the call. And for those of you who don't know the context of that. All right. Just again to preface before the call starts, I'm taking the call from home. So if we get interrupted, blame it on autism, and we'll deal with it. Okay. If Matt joins us, great. If not, we'll have to get him the minutes to the meeting and make sure that he gets started, because I do have something for him. So I'm going to go ahead and call this regular meeting of the Alpha Rho Alumni Chapter Board of Directors to order now. And if everyone is out there and can join Uber Conference, great. If not, we'll just go with that. Roll call. Brother George, could you please take roll?
Will do. Bob Loffner, AP68.
Present.
Anthony Grayley, AP359. Which he's off. Eric Baldwin, AP412. Patrick Farley, AP67.
Here.
Jordan Feathers, AP438.
Here.
Got the AP right this time, Jordan. Greg Winkleman, AP69.
Here.
Jason Hyatt, AP466.
Here.
John George is present. Patrick Folio, AP147.
Here.
Barney, AP360.
Here.
Matt Laffa, AP628, maybe later. Tom Begley, AP284.
Present.
Is there anyone else in attendance tonight? I don't believe so. How about you, Tom?
Okay, thank you very much. Did you get, I'm sorry, I may have missed, did you get Bob Loffner on the call?
Yep, first one.
I did, thanks.
Okay, great. I just want to make sure. If anyone else joins throughout the call, I'll let you know. All right, the reading of the minutes of the last meeting, unless somebody has a motion to dispense of the reading.
I make a motion. Moved.
Patrick Folio made the motion, seconded by... that was AP67, Patrick Farley. Anybody opposed to that? Okay, great. Let's move on. All right, the regional leaders. I don't see Tuan on the call. Hey, Bob, why don't you go ahead and just give us an update on what's going on. Do you have anything planned there?
Sure do. Sure do. You might have saw an email chain just started this afternoon. We have, as far as football games, I believe we have, including this weekend, we have, gosh, seven maybe? So having said that, for the Pittsburgh area, I was hoping to get people together to watch a game together as brothers, like we did last year for the Kansas game. So we have, I'm going to the November 5th game, just to let you know that I plan to go to that game November 5th when we play Kansas. So we've got OK State at Tech, OK State at OK State, November, and then we got Texas, Oklahoma, Iowa State, and Baylor, which that's the last game of the season, which could be very interesting. So having said that, I'm hoping to get a bunch of the Pittsburgh area, PICAF, or even guys who want to come up from the Panhandle, West Virginia, or Ohio, to get together for a game. And just also let you know, I've kind of asked Dave Goldberg, but he has, I guess, to the grapevine, I've heard he might want to host an event at his house. So that's what I'm trying to do. Get together for at least one game, and we'll see where we go from there. Great. That has showed interest, and so has Dave Kish already.
Good. And Bob was down in Nashville last weekend. Thankfully, we had some time to spend together. One of the things that we mentioned was the fact that there's so many guys in that Pittsburgh area that are starting to emerge as people that will want to do some things with us. So we've got a great opportunity in Pittsburgh. I hope that we can get it out. My only advice is whatever you do, you got to give it at least 3 or 4 weeks to get the word out. So, you know, when you decide to do something, pick a date, but make sure it's a good 3 to 4 weeks out. And then get with Jason and have him help you market that through our social media and email sites. Okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think if we have at least four guys, we can do something. But
yeah.
I think it's just a matter of process doing things. Like you said before, Tom, just building. So We've got at least six guys. Well, let me say the eight guys in the Pittsburgh area. We'll pick up more and more to come on the webpage, or I mean Facebook.
Absolutely. And there's also a lot of guys that aren't on there.
Bob, it's Patrick.
Yes, sir.
I just sent you a last email on that volley we were having on Facebook. And I think that as we did last year, we got together for the football game that was closest to Founders Day. And we kind of had both of those together when we were out by the airport last year.
And so, and like you said, and it's December 3rd is the Baylor game, which beautiful choice, right?
Exactly. And, you know, like last year, I think we even had a sidebar discussion at the table that it would be a good annual thing for the Pittsburgh group to do, to
sure.
go to the last football game of the season and also celebrate Founders Day.
I agree with you, Patrick. Good.
I don't normally like the idea of planning something when we have a home game, but I think in this case, in this instance, I think it would be good. Again, it's the last game of the season. The weather could be questionable that day. You never know on a December 3rd what the weather's going to do. So, go ahead and start getting that worked out, and you know, get it planned out, and reach out to the people that you need to reach out to in terms of hosting. If you need my help with that, let me know, and then let's get that on the calendar and start marketing it.
So you think David Goldberg's a good choice? Has he actually said to you that he might like to host something?
No, not in so many words. I think he might be somebody that you could reach out to and say, you know, pass along the idea and say, you know, we'd like to host it at somebody's house. Would that be something you'd be interested in doing? And, you know, I wouldn't impose on him, but just throw it out there to him. If you need my help with that, we'll do that offline.
Yep. We'll see. We're not dead, because Dave Goldberg's a part of the Pittsburgh section,
yep.
Pittsburgh area group. He kind of laid it out there for him. We'll see what happens.
Okay. Great. Okay. I wanted just to mention, too, that Eric Baldwin contacted me before the meeting today. He's out in California and can't be on the call today. But his region is having – he's working in conjunction with David Corey in the Baltimore, D.C. area. There's Ability Experience build for a Vietnam veteran to put a wheelchair ramp in the person's house. So we're going to be reaching out to – the DC and Baltimore alumni to see if we can get some participation from our guys out there. So, John, I just wanted to make sure that was put into the minutes that Eric had reported that. Okay. All right. Let's move forward into our officer.
Hey,
yeah, go ahead.
Can I mention something briefly?
Of course.
You say for Vietnam veterans?
For a Vietnam veteran.
Something on the sidebar, just so we can work this offline through Eric. My brother is in Vietnam, and he's a member of the Beaver County, Pennsylvania Vietnam Veterans, Chapter 862, and it's the second largest in the country. So if somehow they could link up with Vietnam Veterans of America with that chapter in D.C., that might be a nice thing.
Well,
throwing that out there.
Yeah, this is something that was arranged by the Ability Experience, the folks down in Charlotte. So, that might be – let's talk about that offline if there's something, a partnership – that we may be able to make an introduction to the folks down at Ability Experience. I think that'd be good.
Just throwing it out there for future.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. Perfect. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. Okay. Mr. Completely Buried in the Month of October, Patrick Farley, AP67. What's going on in your world?
Well, I am completely buried in the month of October.
No worries. We're gonna we knew that going into the month, so
yeah. And I just as a real live update, I probably am gonna have a window between December 1 and the end of the year. And I'm hoping to spend some days as I did back when I had a window like that to go through the rest of the star and lamp articles.
Great. When you become unburied after October, let's get back together to kind of come up with a strategy of how to attack the late mid to late 90s and the aughts for the writing of the history. Just want to share a couple ideas with you one on one.
We'll do it.
All right. Thank you, sir. And we'll see you when you emerge from your unburiedness. let's go next to our VP and Chief Risk Officer, Jordan Feathers. Anything cooking, Jordan?
Yeah, I ordered Twan a new shirt after his generous donation prior to homecoming, and looks like we could have a significant savings on that. We had looked at the pricing of something Greek that AP 67 had suggested, and it looks like we may be able to save about $14 per polo. I only ordered the one polo because that's all we had. So it went from about a $44 cost through the PICAP store down to $30. And the only real difference is the Star Shield emblem is not something that it appears they have on that website, not that I could find, at least at first glance. So that would be the only difference in the appearance of the first kind of generation shirt to the second generation shirt.
We're going to need to be just a tad bit careful with the trademark and making sure we're not infringing on that. I, in this instance, and with that type of cost savings plus the time, I think it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Right. However, if you can work with the templates that you can find online to get to the vendor to see if they can accommodate that. I don't know if they'll be able to do it without them violating the trademark.
Right.
I'd like for you to explore that to see if we can, you know.
I can do that. Yeah, they have, now that's the thing, they have the crest, but they do not have the Star Shield. So it appears they have some, I'm presuming that the crest is trademarked as well. So they have some of that, but they did not have the kind of newer generation Star Shield that we're seeing on all the publications.
Yeah, and that's the rub. All that old stuff is not trademarked.
Okay.
We're not usable anymore.
Gotcha.
Since they've gone under this. Do me a favor, if you would, if you, with your contact, if you could have a conversation about that, to ask them what in their opinion, what the cost would be for them to get the trademark use of the trademark stuff. If they would be willing to do that, how much that would cost. And
so
then,
I went through that first exploration when we, you know, kind of that first generation shirt, there was a local company.
Yeah.
That does Greek wear. And basically they told us it was cost prohibitive on either side. Like, it wasn't worth them spending the money, and it definitely wasn't worth what we were going to have to pay for. So I can only presume that that's going to be a similar conversation, but I will have that conversation with them through the website.
Do me a favor and let me know, because what I'd like to do is I want to have a conversation with the people down in Charlotte that kind of are responsible for that trademarking, because it seems to me that there can be an agreement somehow for us to be able to utilize that trademark without being cost prohibitive for everyone involved. It shouldn't be that expensive.
Well, that's the thing, a $15 per shirt cost difference, especially for an organization that already has the trademark, it shouldn't be that much difference through the PICAP store. You know, what are they really charging for?
Right.
Since they already have that, you know, they have all the logos at their disposal.
Well, again, what I'd like to do is I'd like to get as much information on this as possible. If you could get that for me and either put it in a, you know, an email just to kind of give me all the issues. I'll then arrange to have a phone call with Denise Nelson and bring this up with her so that we can maybe come to a resolution and make it as easier as possible for us to do this going forward.
That'd be great.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, let's move forward, and I'm going to preface the report for Craig just by letting everyone know that I'm going to be taking a conversation with Craig offline. We've been trying to coordinate our calendars to get a call worked out to discuss our next phase of fundraising, but. Craig, do you want to preface our conversation and report anything today?
No, I don't know. I'm buried in. I'm buying a lot to build a building for my practice on, so I've been kind of buried. I think we close tomorrow. I'm not sure. There's still like probably 5 outstanding items that still need to be done, so I'm not sure the attorney's convinced we're going to close tomorrow. But anyway, that's what I've been doing. So. I've been fundraising for my practice. But anyway, I'll get with you, Tom, in the next couple of days, and we'll get some stuff squared away.
Perfect. It's just one of the things that I've communicated with Craig, and just for everyone else to understand, is we've got to get going again. And, you know, Craig and I are going to come up with kind of what the next strategy is going to look like, what the next effort's going to look like. You know, outside of Twan, who stepped up again and made another generous contribution. We haven't received a contribution from anyone in a long time. The thing that encourages me, though, is the fact, and I'm sure Patrick will get into this in his report. You know, when we do hold events, guys are just dropping bucks on us. And it was amazing to me during that homecoming weekend to see the willingness of people to do that. So we've got an opportunity to strike while the iron's hot. I really want to get this thing going, and I really want to make a concerted effort between the time Craig and I make this announcement of what our next steps are going to be and Spring Alumni Weekend. I want to have a set kind of dollar amount and goal in mind, and we're going to need everyone's help when that happens. But we're going to turn our attention back to that contribution and raising some funds so that we can move forward. It's going to be really important.
Hey Tom, one of the things I think too is, you know, early on, I mean, like anything, I think a lot of people sit back and kind of go, is this whole thing going to be for real? And I think as we get closer and people see that, you know, we're real, this is a commitment, that it's, you know, we're going to make this thing happen, I'm hoping, and I think that we're going to see more people participate as we get closer to the 2017-2018 dates. So my personal opinion on that.
Yeah, I sense that's kind of true as well. But I'll tell you, I think that people were really, the comments that I've received unsolicited about us winning the alumni chapter of the year puts a lot of that into perspective for these people. I think they see that we are for real and that we're going to be moving forward, but absolutely. Hey, I want to back up just real quick while we've got everybody on. One of the things that we've really got to follow up on, I'm moving back into Patrick Farley's report, is we really need to get anything that we have outstanding from our history back into Patrick's hands. Craig, I know that there was you were searching for a box full of goodies that you were going to be sending up to him. Did you find that?
Tom, that box is sitting on my kitchen countertop, and I told Patrick that I wanted to kind of just take a few moments myself and look through that stuff before I mailed it to him. And that was probably a month ago, and the box is sitting there, and I haven't touched it in a month. So I'll get that to Patrick in the next couple of weeks. So I got some time this weekend, if this closing happens, that I get some mental break time. And I just want to have the opportunity to plow through that before I mail it off.
Very good. Perfect. I also know that there's other things that are swirling around that need to wind up back into AP67's hands so that he can coordinate that. And let me tell you guys why that's important. As we move forward for the 2018 rechartering, and more importantly, the 2018 1978 rechartering anniversary, the 40th, I want to have everything aligned for that date. So as you guys run across that stuff, let's make sure we're getting it back up in the hands of 67. All right. Let's...
So, hey, Tom, that light, question for you. The photo album from the 30s that and some other stuff that I don't, if my recollection was that went to somebody for the 25th or 30th, has any of that stuff ever been located?
I'm not quite sure. A photo album, 67, you got anything on that?
Tom, I think Craig's remembering, and I believe it was the 30, it might have been the 25th. It was the 25th. There were a number of pieces of memorabilia that, especially I had like full listings of where people live, all that stuff, that I was handing off to somebody while I was doing the MC work, my gavel, all these, you know, even whatever it was. And somebody said they were going to take it somewhere for safekeeping instead of putting it in the house until they had a better place and more secure place in the house to put it. So I don't think anybody really knew what happened to that stuff. One of them, which was the real, I think, diamond in the ground there, was a copy of every composite that we had had from the very first one we took up through whenever that 25th was. I had one each of those, you know, individual size ones. And all of that was like, you know, just historical type of stuff.
My memory is foggy from that 25th, but I think what may have happened was that was given to Dyson to safekeep. It may have, it may have been given to Hanko. Jason, do me a favor tomorrow, because I don't have a way of putting a reminder on. Will you just shoot me a text tomorrow to remind me to reach out to Eric and Ben about that and see what they can come up with?
Yeah. Well, my guess is if it was given to somebody in Morgantown for safekeeping, Dyson is probably would have been the go-to.
And if I remember correctly, I think he said he put it into the room at the house that only he and Turner can access. So I think
okay.
We're good.
Hey,
I just
right.
Want to.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
Tom, because the one item, Lawrence Oneacre, I think it was, brought a photo album to one of the chapter meetings that was a photo album from the fraternity in the 30s. And it has a bunch of original photos and information about the early days of the chapter and everything else. That photo album was sitting on a table in Grant Street, the old Pi Beta Phi house, and was just being tossed around like a piece of trash at the time. And I took it, and I kept it in a box in my house for years. And I took it to the 25th because there was a request, or actually maybe sent, because I've looked, the box that I had marked in my storage where that photo album was is now empty of that photo album.
Okay.
But I can only imagine that for the 25th, when we were putting together the slideshow, that I either brought it to Morgantown and turned it over or something, but that's no longer in my possession.
Okay.
But that is a pretty significant piece of fraternity history that's out there somewhere.
Yeah, and again, if Dyson's the one who made the slideshow for that, and it gives me kind of confidence to say that it's probably with the stuff that he has put in safekeeping in the house. But
okay.
There's also we've come to find out that the National Office has a ton of old pictures from Alfa Rho that they have used and shown us and given us. So Anyway, well, let's just set this aside for now. Jason, just shoot me a reminder tomorrow. I'll reach out to Dyson, and I'll also reach out to find out exactly what the national office has, and really kind of put a good locator on that. Okay. All right. Let's move forward. Let's go on to our Secretary and Chief Communication Officer, John George. Great job with the newsletter. What have you have for us today?
I just want to mention that was sent out. I don't know if everyone's had a chance to see it. Thanks to Jason.
It looked really good, John. It really, really looked good.
That was at the suggestion of the template that Jason mentioned last time from the national office. And I did reach out to Andrew about the database regarding birthdays. And Jason was able to take a look at the one he had, and we decided that if we put all birthdays in there, we'd be putting 20, 30, 40, 100. We might not have enough room. So the decision was at the time to go with active members of the alumni chapter, which is a great idea. Additionally,
happy birthday, Barney.
Hey, thanks. I like that. Nice touch.
And then one thing of note that I'll close with here is Tom mentioned another idea. Something we've done in the past at various times was spotlight on the Brother of the Month or Alumni of the Month. And so Tom has initially sent out a set of questions to Bill Fuchs about, you know, some of the things he's doing now, memories of those types of things, to try to get some spotlight on him. And then we'll follow up with people periodically to build future newsletters. The goal right now, for me at least, is to do, obviously, monthly, but somewhere around the second week of each month, if not late first week of each month. If there's any questions or comments about that, you feel free to send it to me offline or on the call if you'd like.
Yeah, and if there's anyone in particular that you want to spotlight or highlight, shoot me or John a note and just say, hey, we should take a look at this person. So first couple months, I think strategically, I'd like to do a few key guys from the history, a rechartering brother. I want to get Brent Webster highlighted in one. And then probably somebody a little bit younger for the third month in December. In January. And then we can open it up. But send some ideas to John of somebody that you'd like to see highlighted, and we'll go with that. But great job, John. Appreciate that. Jason, thanks for your support of that too. Okay, let's move forward. Our Treasurer and Chief Financial Officer, Patrick Folio. Thank you again for everything you did for Homecoming. That was a huge, great event. I really had a great time. I think everybody that was there had a great time, and we owe much to you, Patrick. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Anytime. Well, let's watch that comment. But you're welcome.
Got it.
Quickly, and I will be honest, I've been busy in the past 2 weeks, so not much has been done as it relates to the Treasury. We have a balance of in both the PayPal and our checking account and cash that is sitting in the checkbook of $8,469.27. We have some outstanding. We have reimbursements due for Homecoming. We pulled in for Homecoming a total of $1,180 in revenue. $680 came through PayPal. $500 came through cash on the day of the game. So I felt like a stripper at a salesman's convention that day.
Making it rain.
It was raining 20s. So I have all that. I just haven't had time to get to Morgantown to deposit it, but that's still sitting here. So I'll get that done hopefully in the next week. And then I will reimburse. I think, Tom, I owe you money. And I have some reimbursements from Homecoming. We will not go in the hole on Homecoming. I have taken some stuff back that we did not use, and we have some beer left over, and depending on who I can force to pay for it, we'll get reimbursed for that too. And that's pretty much it from there. Do I owe anybody any money for reimbursements? I think I've taken care of everyone.
No, and do me a favor, just put mine towards contributions.
Okay, and as you were saying earlier, when you were talking about, you know, a lot in, a lot of people's contributions that were reoccurring are starting to time out. So pretty soon here, we're not going to have anything coming in. We've had some reoccurring contributions, and those are all starting to end about now. A lot of them are. So we need to, as you say, start reaching back out to everyone to start getting some more revenue.
Let me ask you, do you have a list of those and when they fall off?
I have a list of when they do fall off, but not, I can't, how they set it up. It only tells me actually when it occurs.
I can pull that from the submission forms.
Okay, I will, with in tandem, we, you know, who's already gone and can make sure we get to you.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hey, guys, this is Bob. Is that based on when you made your first donation, or is it just a calendar thing?
It was a 12-month thing.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, because we're going to have to, Craig and I are going to have to incorporate that into this next phase because, you know, what I hate having to go back to the well, but we're going to have to ask those guys that did the recurring one if they'd be willing to re-up and do it again. And my guess is that they're not going to say no. I mean, I hope they won't say no, but we'll put that together formally.
And just to say this, Tom, and guys, that's easily to let go that, oh, this is the one-time thing I made for this particular donation level, but it's a yearly thing, and that's easily to let go. That's human nature.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Thank you, Patrick. That's great. Did somebody have something else?
I'm good.
I thought I heard somebody else try to chime in there. All right. Patrick, great. Appreciate it. Let's move on. Barney, do you have anything for us this month?
No, I don't have anything.
Okay. No worries. I think one of the things, just to follow up with everybody, is we're still trying to put the final touches on the recommendations to the strategic plan report findings. I will tell you that I know that Barney's been covered up. Foof has been absolutely buried as well. And we're going to reconvene and try to push through and finish those recommendations. They look good right now from what we've done. It's premature for us to put anything out there, but we're probably a third of the way through with the recommendations. And it's not something that I'm truly panicked about until we get a chapter advisor in place that will really need that and use it for instruction. So we've got time to finish that, and we've got everything we need to finish it. It's just a matter of actually doing it, and we'll get that done. So appreciate it, Barney. And we'll go from there. Our illustrious executive vice president is not on the call today, but I'd like for this to be put into the minutes. We are going to start work on Spring Alumni Weekend. We have started work on Spring Alumni Weekend, which is April 21st and 22nd. I would imagine that the structure is going to look very similar as to what it did last year. It was well attended. The business meeting, I promise you, will not be anywhere close to as long as it was last year. I don't intend to rush through business meeting, but I don't anticipate it being 4 hours long. But I'd like to see a similar kind of format to what we did last year, which is really fun. I think everybody enjoyed themselves. So please do me a favor, guys, and mark that on your calendars now, so that it is there and we can get as many people in person in Morgantown as possible. I know it's a hike for some of you. It's certainly a hike for me, but this is just one of those things that we got to get done, and we got to get face to face. I will tell you that I think that we'll have a lot more cleared up in terms of, and a lot of work to do in terms of the rechartering and what the plans are going to be for fall of 18 that we're going to be working on and laying out in terms of a business plan for the following 12 months. So it behooves all of us to get there and to be on the same page so we can work through some of that. But I'd also, again, remind you that it's a weekend for us to have fun and enjoy and be together. So please put that on your calendar. Matt's going to be working on the planning aspects of that and what to look for. And we'll start marketing that in earnest as soon as we can. Any questions on that? Okay, great. Let's go into my report. I've got a couple things I just want to update you on. The Chapter Advisor Search Committee, we've hit sort of a snag, and it has to do with just some priorities that Dr. Baker has in regards to finding us and giving us the ability to put out that, for lack of a better term, a request for inquiries from people on campus. It's just slower. It's happening slower than what I anticipated. And I think when he agreed to do this, what he anticipated, there's just been a lot of stuff happening on campus that has been kind of out of his control. That's kind of taken his concentration away from what I've asked him to do. I'm not overly concerned with it. I think, again, my hope was to have somebody named and to be able to have that person go to mid-year in Pittsburgh at the first of the year. If we can't make that happen, it's not the end of the world. We can work around that and get the training that we need for that chapter advisor. Just going to have to be done in a little bit different fashion. I'm going to be requesting a meeting with Turner to talk about some of the in-common requirements that he wants to see filled with the chapter advisor, what the role is going to be to help him out as well as us to kind of further the organizational goals and objectives. So I'm going to start talking to him a little bit more about that soon. And then I'm going to also convene a meeting with the actual committee, which is Jordan Brantbush and Dr. Baker and myself, so that we can, again, put a little bit more maybe more strict timelines on this thing to work through that we can all come to that agreement on. Any questions on that aspect of what's going on?
Hey, Tom. Something we might want to at least put on the bucket list to think about is either placing an ad in the Chronicle of Higher Education. There's not a professor, a faculty person, a grad student in the industry of education that doesn't receive the Chronicle of Higher Education. I mean, okay. It's something, when I worked at higher ed, that's what you got. And the first thing you do when you get it is go to see what jobs are open. And there's a section in there where they can put volunteer opportunities.
Great.
So that might be another method for somebody to think about doing something.
Yeah, absolutely. And if there's anything like that at WVU that anyone's aware of that's a similar venue, something that's internal WVU that would allow us to find that thing. I'm sure that's where Dr. Baker will be able to help steer us. But if you guys know of anything, that's great, Patrick. I think we'll definitely do that when we get to that point of putting that out there. Anyone else on that? Okay, great. The next thing I have on the agenda is a follow-up on that Call 5 campaign that I started and hope to have everyone participate in starting in August. For those of you that were not on those calls and aren't aware of what I'm talking about, let me just briefly give you the overview of it. My thinking on this is the fact that we have done such a really, we've done a magnificent job, and I think by any measure, of connecting with our alumni through social media, through emails, through regular mailings, through our websites, through Facebook. We've done a great job about putting out and showing what we're doing. But one of the things I think that would make it come alive to a lot of people is that personal touch. So the thought that I had back in August was, let's try to each call five guys that are friends, that are close to us, that went through the student member experience with us, that we could have a very casual conversation with to catch up with an old friend. And oh, by the way, here's what we're doing. This is what we need help with, to kind of personalize the experience of the Alpha Rho Alumni Chapter to them, to make them feel included as part of it. So I have made a bunch of calls over the course of the last 2 months with some pretty good results. And I want to start out by sharing with you the story of Dan Roy. And while I didn't necessarily reach out and call him, it was a conversation at homecoming that I had with him that really reinforced why I think this is such an important initiative for us to all undertake and really take seriously. So Dan hasn't done anything with the Alpha Rho chapter since he graduated in, I think it was the spring of 91 or spring of 92. Nothing, not one single event has he come back for in all those years. He wound up, I was at the tailgate out in the kind of the middle of everything, and I see Dan and recognize him instantly. He looks exactly like he did when he was an undergraduate. And it was a wonderful, you know, great thing. And I thought he was just stumbling. He had just found us by chance. And in talking with him, what I discovered was it was absolutely not by chance. He had sought us out, and he had been following us on Facebook, and he'd been receiving the emails. He had updated his information on the website. I didn't realize that. And been getting everything from us. And we wound up having a really great conversation. And it really validated a lot of what we're doing. He was blown away. He couldn't believe the news when the chapter went away. He was upset by that. He didn't realize the chapter was in such bad shape, but he's been following the progress of the alumni chapter through what we've been doing. And he said, when we announced that we had won the Alumni Chapter of the Year award, it would just blew him away. He felt compelled to reach out, but he didn't really know how to. He'd been seeing everything online, and even though we've been telling him, he didn't really have a great understanding, and he wasn't very comfortable, you know, just reaching out to us. So he felt like he knew he was coming to the game, and he said, I'm just going to go. And I'm going to stop by the tailgate and just see what's going on. And we, like I said, we wound up having a great conversation. He was one of the guys that just dropped a bunch of money on us for being there. And just he thanked me for doing what we're doing because it meant a lot to him. And somebody like Dan Roy, again, who's absolutely not engaged with the chapter at all during any of the, you know, the previous 25 years. That was very cool to me, and it was a validation of what we're doing. And the point of telling you that story is the fact that we can each do that with a couple of our own friends. And it's as simple as I'm telling you is by picking up the phone and just deciding you want to catch up with somebody. And it's different than a text message. It's different than an email. It's a personal thing. And you know, I don't need you guys to be doing it necessarily for the fact of getting people to contribute. But what I do need it for you to do is to give them the opportunity to ask you how they can participate in the alumni chapter. Why is it important? What is it that they can be doing that would be meaningful to them to come back in? And I think what we're going to find is that there are a lot of people again, that will recall the importance that Pi Kappa Phi and our chapter played in their lives and will want to do something. They'll want to come back from home for homecoming. They may want to come in for the spring alumni weekend. And the more we keep doing that, I think what we'll wind up seeing is our numbers and our participation grow. And then we'll start seeing that you know, our $8,000 chapter treasury will be 20, 25, 30, and it will be easier for us to do the things that we want to do. So again, I don't want to call anybody out right now and ask, you know, who's called or who hasn't. If you haven't done it yet, just do one. Just try one person that you may not have talked to, or you may have only traded a text message with recently. Pick up the phone and just out of the blue, call that person just to catch up, find out what's going on in their lives. What's their family up to? How's the career, kids, grandkids? And then just naturally let it come up with, hey, I don't know if you've seen what's going on with the alumni chapter, but I'm involved and here's what we got going on, and see where it leads. May not go anywhere, but I have a suspicion that it will. So I'm going to just do me a favor, guys, and try that with one person. And just, you don't have to share it with everybody, but shoot me an email after you've done it and let me know how it went. And just tell me, did it work? Did it not work? Was it good? Was it a bad experience? And just see where it goes. But I have a sneaking suspicion that this will help us in a lot of different ways if each one of you will pick up the phone and make contact with somebody. Okay? Anybody have any questions on that? Okay. Finally, for today, for me, I have reached out to someone that I'd like to see chair the 40th rechartering anniversary celebration. I have not heard back. I asked this person to take a few days to think about it. That was before the weekend, and now it's in the middle of the week. It's either a really long deliberative process for this person, or they're ignoring me because they don't want to do it and they don't want to say no to me, which is entirely possible, and wouldn't surprise me. But I'm going to reach back out to that person just to see whether or not my email did reach them. And if it didn't, then I'll resend it and we'll get an answer. I've got a few other people that could do this that I think I would reach out to as options, other options. But I'd like to see if this one brother would be willing to head this up for us. He'd be really good, I think. So we've got to get that started. That is going to be a main focus of a lot of what we're going to be concentrating on going forward. That has to be done. I have expressed to this person and whoever is going to be chairing it that the 40th anniversary celebration will be the biggest and best event that Alfa Rose ever seen. And I mean that. I want it to be over the top, huge, big, and very much a celebration of our past and of our future. So it's going to get a lot of attention from me and certainly the resources that we have now will be concentrated into that committee. Anybody have anything on that?
Hey, Tom, I know somebody who worked on the opening ceremonies of the Beijing Olympics. You want something that big?
I'm thinking perhaps if they can get us the fireworks people to
and 1,000 drummers in the middle of the floor.
I think that'd be great.
I do too.
Yeah, we'll table that for right now, and I'll call on you if I need you for that.
Well, and Tom, didn't we at least I think did have a serious discussion though about whether we wanted to try to bring out the first chartering. Since we have such a good history of how that was done.
Say that again.
When I sent one section of the history over about the initiation coming from Delta Epsilon into Alpha Rho Chapter, Pi Kappa Phi.
Yeah.
And it had that lengthy description of everything that happened at the Hotel Morgan.
Right.
What the menu was, what the flowers were, what the name cards looked like, how the whole thing was set up. I think at one point you and I said, wouldn't that be great to,
That'd be killer.
Do that again?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about, is to recreate it, do it exactly the way that banquet was run. I think that you would find, and explaining that to the people that are there, where they may not know that's what's happening, and then you explain it to them, I think that could be very powerful. But yeah, all that, that's going to be on the table. And you know, it's 2 years away. And Patrick Folio will tell you that that's not very long. There's a lot to get done, and we've got to move on this quickly in order to have everything done the way we want to do it. So good thing is we got momentum. I know that we'll have as much support as we need from the national office, and we'll just really rock and roll on this thing as quickly as possible. Okay. Is there any old business that we have out there, John?
The only thing I just want to remind folks of, I do have a penned old business item, and that's for the future when the undergraduate returns, and that's along the lines of newsletter. We've penned future discussions, making sure the undergraduate chapter utilizes the Alpha Rho newsletter once they return. I'm not sure how that'll marry up with the alumni chapter newsletter then, but that's the only old business that's penned from now until when we're back on campus. And
great.
That's it.
Perfect. Does anyone have any new business? Okay, seeing how as we've flown through this meeting by our standards, I certainly would like to have the opportunity for anyone to have the floor and discuss anything about what is shaking out there in their minds. Guys, the floor is open. Anybody?
Tom, I know it's not the happiest of news, but you might want to share about our communication with Kappa Alpha.
Oh, yes. I apologize for not including that as part of my report. Unfortunately, we got some news over the weekend that a really well thought of student, leader in the student government and also within the Greek community, an engineering major, kid from Kappa Alpha Order, tragically fell to his death over the weekend. Nothing, you know, it was truly a tragic accident. There was no, no risk management violations, nothing to do with Kappa Alpha Order. I extended our condolences on behalf of our alumni chapter to their four alumni advisors. They sent a communication back that they appreciated the thoughtful gesture to us. But it's just, again, it's a reminder of how, just anything can happen, and we've got to be vigilant when we bring our student chapter back on. There's a reason why you don't go climbing on a roof to go smoke. We've got to be reminded that even the most, promising and smart of our young members are still not sometimes thoughtful in the what they're doing and the risks that they take. So it's just a sad day. As I said, it's a sad day when any WVU student loses their life. It's that much more. We feel it that much more when it's a interfraternal brother. And our fraternity has a fantastic relationship with Kappa Alpha Order. Mark Timmies and their chief executive are like best friends. They vacation together. So I know that Mark and his counterpart, I'm sure Mark reached out to him as well. So very sad day, a reminder, life is short, and we've got to be very diligent with our student members.
Well, then I do have a motion to make that we make a donation to whatever determined charity they would like in the amount of $100 from the alumni chapter in the student's honor.
Okay,
I second that.
Okay, seconded by Bob Lochner. Everyone in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Let the minutes show, John, that there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 yays, 0 nays, and the motion passes. I'm trying to think. I will, Jason, you, in your reminder to me tomorrow, just ask me to include that. I'll reach out to Dr. Baker or Bill Brewer and ask them if we could make a contribution on to their place. I didn't read any. Okay, thank you. I don't know if anybody saw. Patrick, did you see anything or read anything about, you know, in lieu of flowers, send contributions to somewhere?
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Patrick Folio has not.
Okay. I'm sorry. I should have said that. All right. I'll reach out to Bill Brewer tomorrow. And that's a great gesture. And we'll make sure that gets done.
And Tom, I think it needs to be known, and I'm sad that they're spinning it this way on media, but I've already pinned an email to Peggy Finnegan at Channel 11 News up here in Pittsburgh, because they're making this humongous jump in an attempt to link the guy who just passed to Nolan Birch.
Oh, God.
Who died 2 years ago from a hazing event.
Correct. No, they were very quick to say, and the university even put that out to say this had nothing to do with anything the fraternity did. This was just a horrible accident. So thank you for penning that. I'm sure that our brothers at Kappa Alpha Order would appreciate that too.
There's also been, I saw it on Metro News, some idiot just making some flip comments about why didn't he walk out the front door, he'd still be alive, and all these other stupid things. And people just started lambasting him, and the last comment I saw came from the kid's aunt.
That's terrible.
So it's just, people are just idiots.
This kid, I'm telling you, what I heard about this kid was that he was, I mean, truly destined. Engineering major, like a honors student, Order of Omega. This kid had a bright future ahead of him. This wasn't a dummy. This wasn't some knucklehead. You know, he wasn't drunk and crazy. He went out to smoke a cigarette because you can't smoke inside the house. And tragically slipped coming back in the house, and you know, again, it's just terrible. And so no fingers need to be pointed at the Greek system or Kappa Alpha Order. This is just a horrible accident that could happen just about any of those houses. So we just, again, I just don't like that any attempt to link it to Greek life or Greek behavior or, you know, anything like that just makes me sad. So we'll certainly reach out and do that, find out where we can make that contribution, and we'll make that as soon as we can. Guys, the floor's still open. Anyone else? Well, I'll take the opportunity to again just reiterate what a great, great event that we had for homecoming. The things that I heard from guys that, you know, again, Ken Burko, who came up from North Carolina, and you know, Dan Scully, we talked to Alan Hopkins, I'm just trying to think of a couple other guys that were there. You know, my little brother Zeke, who hasn't done anything with the chapter in forever. Dan Scully came, they both came down from Detroit. The things that I heard about the work that we're doing was really encouraging. So, you know, I think I didn't hear anybody complain about the tailgate. I think everybody, you know, had a great, great time at the tailgate. You know, it was a little bit wet and rainy, at Mario's on Friday, but it was fun. You know, then we went down to the parade, saw a couple people in Gibby's. That was great. it was just killer. And we're gaining this momentum and we're doing these things the right way. I will tell you though, I think Patrick and I made an executive decision that next year's homecoming event, we're going to cater instead of trying to prepare and bring all of the food ourselves, so that both Patrick in particular and myself secondarily can relax a little bit and enjoy and have somebody else prepare the food. So that's the one minor change that we're going to make for next year's homecoming event. But for those of you who were there, it was awesome and it was great to see everybody. For those that weren't there, really missed you. We definitely enjoy having you as part of our events. And one final thing is that I took the opportunity we had, for those of you who weren't there, Jason had a good amount of koozies created with our Alpha Rho alumni chapter on one side, and then there were two different variations of the back. One had us 2016 alumni chapter of the year. The other one had to save the date for spring alumni weekend. I thought that was great. But I took the opportunity to send all of our people that that contributed to the alumni chapter in the past year. I made sure that I handwrote a note and sent a couple of koozies to everybody that was on that list, plus a couple more for guys that I strategically wanted to have received those koozies, and got a couple nice thank yous back for that. Hand delivered one as well, and that was received very well too, I think. Pretty sure, right? 68.
Yes, indeed. I'm using one right now.
Very good. I'm glad. Good to use them. Jason, those are great, man.
Good job, Jason.
Yeah, that was really good. So thanks, guys. I am very much looking forward to seeing everybody in April. And let's get cracking on contribution campaign again. And please do me a favor. Please just pick up the phone and call somebody that you haven't maybe talked to in a while, but that would be cool to hear from. So with that, I'm going to be done. Our next conference call is Wednesday, November 16th, same time, same conference call number. And unless there's anyone else, can I have a motion to adjourn?
A motion that we adjourn? Bob Watkins.
Okay. Second?
6 seconds. All right.
Okay, Jason seconded that. Thank you, boys. Unless there's an objection, we're going to stand adjourned. And talk to everybody soon. Thank you very much.
Bye, everybody.
Well, take care.
Bye.